think that's all the notices. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that when we gather together, you are with us. And we also know that you're with those who can't be with us. And there's this scattered body of Christ all over the world. We gather this morning to lift our praises to you. And we realise that we're joining with something so much greater than ourselves. So I pray that everything that goes on here this morning, in our hearts and minds, with our voices, with our ears, will be honouring to you and will be according to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are going to sing a great old hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. With the songs, stand if you wish and are able. Please feel free to sit if you prefer. And that's fine, we'll just carry on. So back in the middle of July, quite a lot of us descended on a little field in North Wales. George, I don't know if you were the first on site this year, but you were with the first three or four, weren't you? Opening up the gate and checking the cows had moved out and starting to get the water supply on and to get the shutters off the kitchens and get the toilets working and all that sort of thing. And then a lot more of us turned up on the Thursday night and we started putting up tents. And we had a fantastic team by the Saturday morning, and somebody took a little time-lapse video, which I wasn't able to get hold of, but it showed the marquee being hoisted up in about 30 seconds. And my word, if only it did go up in 30 seconds. It did go up by about 11:40, I think, this time, which was a Nevin World record. So we were very pleased about that. Over the season, there were five camps, and the Nevin camps run as a relay race with a new team and a new bunch of youngsters coming in every week. Various age groups from 9 all the way up to 18. And there was a fantastic work done. Not only was the physical temperature with this lovely sunny weather very high this year, but the spiritual temperature was high also. I had the privilege to be on C camp, and it was quite clear beforehand that the best made plans of men and women were not to be. We lost our speaker 4 weeks before the camp. We lost a tent leader 2 weeks before the camp. But we had a sense that actually it was God shuffling the cards and everything was in his hands. And we shared out the meetings between the leaders. So I did one of the evening meetings and others did other evenings. And I also got a half share in looking after a tent, which meant checking where the lads were and helping them out in joining with another leader to do quiet times with them. And that was a real privilege. It was absolutely superb. And we all said that normally on a Nevin, you spend the first few days everybody settling in and getting to know each other and pushing the boundaries a bit and perhaps not quite settling down. And then by the middle of the week, everybody's suddenly realising that the end of the week is coming up and they don't want to go home. And that's when the real spiritual work takes place. This year, it was almost on sea camp as if we took up where we left off at the end of last year. And that was just so exciting. Everybody was hungry. They wanted to hear the word. They wanted to talk. They wanted to be in a place where they could be honest and it was a safe place to ask questions. For me, it was a real privilege being a small part of that and seeing God at work. George and Chris, Joe, myself, Sarah, Janet Short, Carol, Keith and Mavis were all on various camps. And I think Susie and possibly Stu was on advance guard. Susie was definitely on rear guard. So there was a lot of support from this church, and we're very grateful to that. And do keep the work of Nevin in your prayers. There are question marks over the future ownership of that site. Our access to it is not guaranteed, but we do believe it's holy ground. So we're praying that God will reserve that for our use, or will make alternative, even better provision. So that's something to pray about. And we were praying for the youngsters that as they go home, that they don't just go back to where they were before. And the theme of our camp was story. It was testimony. And we were talking about individuals in the Bible's encounters with Jesus and how they were changed. And by the end of the week, the last evening meeting was given over to the youngsters just to give testimony and to share their story and how they had met with Jesus. And then we were saying to them on the Saturday morning, well, whatever you're going back to, this week is now part of your story. This has happened. You have learnt, you have felt and experienced and shared. Take this back with you and remember how good God is as part of your story. When I was landed with leading one of the talks, because it did land, sometimes you think, right, do I really want to do this? What am I going to say? I didn't feel like that at all this time. It was one of those occasions, one of those God-appointed occasions where you think, yeah, this feels right, and I think I actually know what God might want me to say. And I spoke on the prodigal son, the lost son, but I was talking really about the father heart of God. And it was one of those, I was first night as well, which is normally the difficult one from the talk's point of view, because everybody wants to be rowdy. But it was one of those occasions where you could have heard a pin drop in the marquee. And there is no way to explain that other than God's presence. Everybody was really just wanting to listen and to soak it up. And that was so exciting. And this continued through the other evening meetings. And we just knew that we were onto something special this week, that God was doing something special. Back in Sandbach, our group has transitioned from being part of Urban Saints to being Energize under the SBC stewardship, so we're very grateful for that. Two of our group went on Nevin, and Teddy, one of our lads, bravely went on eCamp for the first time, completely on his own, not knowing anybody, not even knowing any of the leaders. And I'm pleased to say he had a fabulous time. And that, again, was such a spirit-filled camp that one of the leaders had commented nobody could have been there and failed to be affected by it. Well, he had a marvellous time and is looking forward to going to Kaikannel with us next month. And we're hoping to take a group of probably 10 or so of the older boys. So please do pray for us. Pray that that will really be a time of spiritual growth, not just a time of fun for them. We want them to have fun, but we do it because we want them to learn about God. It needs to have the greater value. And Teddy has now been charged with recruiting the rest of the group to come to Nevin with him next year. So he can do that better than we can. So that's exciting. So please pray for us in October when we're going to Kai. We've got a lot of things to sort out on that. We're organising a minibus. Wanting the right youngsters to go. It's very, very hard not to exclude anybody, especially when you know that all of them need to be in contact with the Lord, and yet the weekend will be quite different if two or three of them aren't there. So we've got some difficult issues to handle there, so we would appreciate your prayers. George or Chris, any thoughts on Nevin, your time at Nevin? It is hard work at Nevin, isn't it?
Yes, well, it just involves taking a rope and pulling it. different. Everybody has different roles. My job is cleaning tent pegs and things like that. Chris, have you got anything to say?
Just to say that little Danielle, who a lot of you will know, she has been to church when we were meeting in Oasis. She went to her third Nevin camp this year, and she went to the older camp. She was brave enough to step up one. She was only just old enough to do that. And when she got to the coach, she looked a bit horrified because a lot of the children were so much taller and seemed so much older. But anyway, she got on the coach, she went off, had a great week and come back, very happy. So that's great. And that, to be honest, that is the only holiday that Danielle will ever get. That's the only holiday they're going in the summer.
And Sarah survived too.
Thank you very much indeed. So please do pray for that ongoing work. Nevin 2026, I think, starts, might even be next Monday, I think the committee's meeting. So it starts all over again. The Energize work carries on Friday by Friday. We're very grateful for your prayer support. We're going to sing three songs as a block as part of our worship now. We're going to begin with Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, and we're going to take the collection up during that song. And we're going to carry straight on then into Hallelujah, My Father, and The Lord's My Shepherd.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, most high.
Still, still waters, this confess restore.
Stay standing. One or two people might just like to say very short prayers of thanksgiving or praise.
Thank you that we can come here this morning and worship you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for your grace, Lord. It reaches out to every single person, no matter what they say or what they do. Help us, Lord, to be people of grace.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, that we are able to give these gifts. The work of your church and of those who are in need. We pray that you would be with the children that respond to across this world and that these gifts would make such a difference in their lives. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father, for the living camps and all the benefits that the young people feel from. Because someone who 60 years ago benefited myself. I thank you for the leaders then, and I thank you for the leaders now and the work through them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that when we are afraid, you are there to uphold us, to comfort us, and to enable us to cope with whatever situation faces us. We thank you, Lord.
Amen. And so we worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you above all for Jesus. And we thank you that you call us to be people of good news. Help us to take our light, the light that you give us, into our daily lives and share it with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The youngsters are going to go out to Sunday school at this point, and they're going to continue their worship and learning in the other room. We will be praying for the individual needs of folks in this church a little bit later on. We're going to just make our intercessions for the world and have a time of confession also in readiness to meet around the Lord's table. So let's continue in prayer. And Lord, as we bring you the problems of the world, we just want to remember that you are sovereign, that you are our creator, that you are the beginning and the end, and there is no situation or problem that is so impossible that it would be impossible to you. Because Lord, as we look around the world, our hearts are weighed down, and we lift the conflict in the Ukraine, and we pray for the people there who have been displaced, had their lives turned upside down, have lost loved ones, and are fearing for their future liberty. And we do lift them before you and pray for their future, that you will draw them close to you, and that there will be peace between Ukraine and Russia. Please bring peacemakers, Lord, and may they be under your authority and blessing. And we look at the world political situation, where politics at the moment seems to be about dividing people. And I pray that Christians everywhere might be lifting their voice to unite people instead. Sadly, this does not seem to be the case at the moment, but Lord, please move hearts and minds. Focus all of those who love you on the main things, on the things that are on your heart. And may Christians everywhere be able to bring truth and hope and love into difficult situations around the world. And Lord, there are so many conflicts that don't even make it onto the news anymore. I think of things going on in Sudan, things going on in so many places, Lord, that we don't even hear about because they're not considered newsworthy. And yet there are conflicts, there are lives being lost, people, innocent people being displaced from their land, and our hearts go out to them. Again, we pray for the relief agencies, that they will have the resources they need to provide help. But above all, again, we pray for the peacemakers, that many of those situations could be changed, that the hearts of leaders could be changed, that people could be brought together in order to make peace. And we pray for our own country, stumbling along seemingly from one problem to another. Again, we pray for those in government to have integrity, to have hearts that you can pull the strings of, Lord, that you could set the priorities. And we do pray for Christian MPs. Give them a voice to speak your values into the heart of government. And we pray for each other, that in our own situations in this town we could make a difference. Show us the little things we can do to be salt and light, to shine your light, and to encourage and to show love to those around us. we pray that you would unite us, and may your flame in us burn brightly, that we could be making a difference in your name, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we lift these prayers, knowing that you are able to answer and hear even before we have asked. Help us to see the ways you are working, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to be reading from verses 9 to 15. And for context, this is all about Elijah, and it's after his great trial and conquest of the prophets of Baal. And it's a situation where you might expect Elijah to be triumphant, having seen God do something amazing. But no. I believe Elijah is suffering from depression at this point. He's burnt out. And he runs away. And he believes everybody is out to get him. And we'll pick up the story at verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. And they've put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord God said, Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you are there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. And he has several other instructions too, and the Lord is picking Elijah up and setting him on a new course. And Sue is going to be speaking to us on that passage very shortly. And we'll pray for Sue now before she comes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sue, and we pray for the message that she is going to bring to us. The words that you've laid on her heart, may they be yours and not hers. And may we be ready to receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Howard. I'm not sure whether the theme of today's sermon ever reached the newsletter. It is earthquake, wind and fire. Do you know, I thought this was quite low when I was sitting over there. Oh no, I've got this one. Four stories this morning. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, one from this church. First of all, one about me. Some weeks ago, I was angry. I was raging mad. I was blazing. Not with anybody, please don't misunderstand me. Not with anybody, but with a situation in the church which had arisen. Nobody's fault, it had just arisen. And it did not suit me at all. I was blazing. Earthquake doesn't even touch how I felt then. And I did that thing which you're not supposed to do. I wrote an email to a friend. You're not supposed to do that when you're very angry. And the friend was blessedly loving and caring and generous and understanding, for which I am still grateful. And then I calmed down and I heard the gentle whisper, the still small voice. It's not all about you. Elijah, the prophets of Baal, great success, like Howard said. Wouldn't you have thought he would rejoice? Go and rejoice with the faithful few of God's people. He fled for his life because of Jezebel and Ahab, who had power to kill him. He spent a week walking through the wilderness with the turmoil of those events going on. I quite agree with Howard. There was a turmoil for Elijah here. It wasn't great rejoicing. Of course, he was glad about the fire and the altar. But the turmoil in his heart was much more, as it were, moved him much more at the moment. And eventually, walked through the wilderness. He walked for a week through the wilderness and arrived at his little cave. Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, you know what I'm doing here. You know what I've faced. You don't need to ask. You've seen it. Don't ask me. Seems to me that the cave is a place of renewal for Elijah. He takes his turmoil, and the earthquake, wind and fire could almost express the turmoil in his life. And certainly the earthquake, wind and fire, if they're outside, reflect exactly what he's feeling. He sits in his cave with his turmoil and with God, although he doesn't quite realize it at the time. And that cave is a place of healing and renewal. And out of the turmoil, once he's quietened down enough to hear God, a still small voice comes to Elijah. And they have a conversation. What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, I told you before, I've just told you exactly the same things. And then the voice, which is the voice of healing and challenge for Elijah, go back. Go back and do the job I gave you to do. Go back into the valley. Be my prophet, anoint a new king, find a replacement for me. What are you doing here? Go back and do the job I've given you. It's not all about you, me. go back and do the job I've given you. It seems to me that San Bunch Baptist Church has been through turmoil, not quite like earthquake, wind and fire, but tumultuous things have happened in our life. Some of them are good. Turmoil is sometimes good. Are we going to buy Oasis? Where's the money coming from? What will we do when we've got the building? What happens if we don't buy it? Where will we go? It was turmoil in the life of the church. What about the bins in the yard? The other day there were 8 grey bins and no black bin outside in the yard. What will we do about the money? Is it a justified way of spending our money? Can we afford it? Can the people, all of you, put your hands in your pockets and buy Oasis? There's turmoil there. And there's turmoil when Alistair and Eunice and Susie leave. Our relationship with them isn't collapsed or broken, but is now not the same. And that's emotionally a great turmoil for us. To lose a minister who's been here for 16 years is not nothing. There are consequences. And I also think there's a turmoil of new beginnings going on. There's something happening in San Bunch Baptist Church. Energize, formerly known as Urban Saints, seems to be finding a new life, a renewal. There's more children. Certainly the reports from Nevin suggest that something there is going on very special. There's turmoil in Tots. I realised when I was looking at the new children, the new term, out of our 13 children who come to Tots & Co. on a Tuesday morning, by Christmas, 8 of them will be one and under. It's like a creche. I was trained for secondary school. I don't do under fives. There are 2 2-year-olds and 2 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and that's it. There is something going on in Tots, and there's something going on amongst the adults in Tots too, which is absolutely delightful and I think is of God. And Messy Church is bursting at the seams. Last time, you'll have seen the seagulls in Oasis. That was Messy Church. Something of God is going on for the church. Somebody said to me the other day about Alistair leaving, where will we find another Alistair? Well, perhaps we won't. Perhaps God has a different kind of minister for us. Perhaps there is something different in God's mind. It seems to me that in the wind and the fire and the earthquake of life in San Bunch Baptist Church, at the moment, our job, like Elijah's, is to go into our cave and listen. Listen. Face the turmoil, come to terms with the turmoil, but listen for the still, small voice of God. Because we don't know yet what God's plan is. And the cave will be a place of healing for those raw emotions we feel. And at the moment, probably the still small voice can't make itself heard over the turmoil. In our small groups, in our individual prayers, in the prayers of the church, in the activities of the church, we're, I think, told to listen. We don't know yet know what God has for the future. We may have to listen for months. Certainly there aren't any ministers beating a path to our door. It will be months, possibly years, before we have a new minister. That's the reality of the Baptist Church at the moment. We listen until we hear him say, "What are you doing here? Go and do the job I have given you." And when we've heard the job that God has given us, that's the time to write the church profile and see what sort of a minister that job needs, if at all. Go back and do the job I've given you. At the moment, we just go into our prayer cave and find healing, renewal, and listen for the small voice. It's not all about you. Go back and do the job I've given you. And the fourth story is the story which we remember as we gather around the table this morning. It's the story of Jesus on his last night. Can you remember the turmoil in the upper room at the last? Who's going to wash our feet? Where's Judas going? I don't trust him, do you, Judas? I never have done. I never liked him. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Peter's going to betray me"? What's going on? There's something going on, and we don't like it. And Jesus himself was subject to that turmoil and the thought of the future, what was going to happen next for him. And they went out to Gethsemane. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Not my will, but yours be done. After the earthquake, wind, and fire, when we've listened, we may hear, "It's not all about you." We may hear, like Elijah, "Go and do the job I've given you." And may we find ourselves saying, "Not our will, but yours." We sing, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind," about Elijah in his cave and the turmoil of the world. We sing again.
Till Lord and
with us and speak the gracious calling of the Lord. Let us, like them with our towers, rise up and follow thee. Rise up and follow thee. O Sabbath, rest by Galilee, O come of hills above, Jesus now to share with thee the silence of eternity.
As we gather now around the table, may it be for us the beginning of our dwelling in Elijah's cave, the start of our listening for that still small voice of Jesus. Let us pray. Living God, we come before you as a church experiencing turmoil and change, like the wind and the fire. May we trust you, like Elijah. May we sit in our cave and find healing and the patience to wait for your still small voice. And may we then, with Jesus, remind ourselves that it isn't our will, but yours we seek. Lord, as we gather now round the table, remind us again of the cost for Jesus of following your will, of loving your people, of drawing them to you. We come not because we must, but because we may. We come seeking healing and forgiveness. We come to find strengthening and guidance and patience for the journey ahead. In a quiet moment, let's bring silently to God all that for which we seek forgiveness and healing. Let's bring our prayers of confession to God in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that as soon as we turn to you in penitence, you forgive us immediately and offer us forgiveness and healing and restoration. Thank you. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and shared it with his disciples, and said, "Take this bread and eat it. This is my body, given for you." And after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and shared it with them, and said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We eat the bread as we receive it, and we'll retain the cup and we'll drink all together at the end. But we eat the bread as we receive it. After supper, he took the cup and shared it with them. So together we drink and we remember. Living God, as we gather round your table, we draw into the fellowship of this table all those who we especially want to pray for this morning, particularly those who belong to this church and are not here today, those who we especially name in our hearts. In our imagination, we bring them before you, all those who are known to us, who are sick, troubled, confused, or depressed. Then we would, in our imaginations, gather before you round the table many more whose names we don't know, but who are known to you. Draw them to you. Heal, forgive, and help them. We pray especially for this morning for the family and friends of the young man who was shot at and killed so horrifically in America this week. Comfort them and strengthen them. And we also pray for the one who killed him. The one who maybe now faces the horror of what he has done. And he heard the president of his country saying, I hope he gets the death penalty. Be close to him. May there be someone who will stand beside him so that he doesn't entirely alone face his fear and his guilt and his despair. Lord, your world is broken and troubled. We ask healing, forgiveness, and merciful love, knowing that as soon as we ask, you answer our prayers. We ask through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we leave with another song, and I've forgotten what it is. Oh, this one, yes. That's a good one.
What?
joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. My soul, my Saviour God to me, how great thou art, how great thou art.
And the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will go with us today and forever. Amen.
Amen.